Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
As Riley launches that ball to deep left center field, and Austin Riley has it a homer to get the Braves on the board. He's starting to come back.
Get up!
Get on up!
Get up!
Get on up!
Stay on the scene!
Get on up!
Like a sex machine!
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Good morning, Georgia.
Morning!
That would be something good, though, where you just heard the sound. Braves, as Mr. Crenshaw said when he walked in here this morning, they just ran into some tough pitching last night.
And somebody that we know very well because he played here in Atlanta and is from the area, Alex Woods. So welcome home, but you didn't have to put the hurt on your homeboys like you did last night.
But as Chip said, it's nice to see if Austin Riley is going, you know.
That was good to see him break out. That's nice. That's nice to see him do that.
Can you get up there and do it? Listen, these guys have had hair-pulling days over the last few weeks for their fan base. They win a few games and you think, oh, ship's righted. Then they turn around and lose a couple. They've been good about winning series.
That has been very good.
But
they've been consistent with that.
Some games that you figure and some teams that you figure, why are y'all messing around with them?
And the Reds have been difficult for them all season long, regardless of where they play them. I mean, tough for them here last night, tough on the road up there. So, for some reason, Cincinnati's been a difficult team.
It's one of those teams that it's like when the Marlins get the Braves number for a while.
Yeah.
You want to like, why y'all mess around with them? Play with the JV team. Smack them around and hurry up and go hang out in Midtown tonight.
Yeah. So, that's the thing we're looking at with the team. But, a difficult loss last night. Like I said, some great pitching. But you know what? That's something that gets you ready for what's going to happen in October. And how do you still stay in games and manufacture runs? Yeah, we got some home runs last night, but this team is built to score in more ways than just one. And I think that's the great thing about this Braves team. There's some speed. We've seen some people go from first to third, go from first to home.
You've seen some pitchers show some speed.
You have seen that too. Max Fried can run. He can roll. He can roll.
Picking them up and putting them down.
But that's the whole thing, though, and that's going to be needed when you get into October because you're going to run into pitching like what you had last night.
We've talked about this Braves team. We've talked about the lead that they have and the ability that they can maybe not take some time off, but work on some elements that they may not have the ability to had this lead, if this lead were like 2-3 games or even one game. And we get worked up into a lather about this. But just like we're talking about here, I mean, when you go back just a little while, you got Phillies when they came to town, 2 out of 3. All right, looking good. Marlins come to town. They just get spanked that first game. I mean, not the Marlins, the Nationals come in. The point is there's this ebb and flow, and I'm wondering to myself, this is okay, because every time it seems, listen, nothing has gone past 2 games as far as losses recently since All-Star break. I can go back and look completely, but the point is when they have hiccups, they don't last. All right, going back to, the Brewers.
Yeah, you got to go way back to see the team when they had a string of losses or got swept in a series.
Brewers too, and then the Nationals. They went up against the Nationals and lost that first game. Then they kind of righted the ship, and it's been no more than 2 losses in a row for this Braves team. The point of it is, as you said, heading into September, heading into October, this is kind of what you want to see. You want to see them work on. Don't be consistent in any area that's a problem. I guess that's the case.
It's been a great week for the team because they didn't stand pat. They went out and got some pitching for the bullpen.
Well, they had to do that.
Really got 2 things happened for the team this week. The bullpen got shored up, and they brought Adam Duvall out of witness protection. And
yes,
so that's the whole thing. I mean, that guy, the way he's been hitting the baseball, he has no intention of riding that bus again. No intention of going back. And Nick Markakis being out of you said last week you were very concerned and troubled, and as was I. Because of what he's been for this team.
Right.
He's out, but you get a chance to see what you had, just priming, getting ready up at Gwinnett. And that's where Duvall has been. I mean, here's a guy who's been a big-time player in Major League Baseball. He took his medicine. He went down and played AAA ball and just worked and worked and worked. got his time to come back up and look at what he's done this week for this baseball team. It's been, you know, is that the equivalent of a pickup you would have from somebody you would have to deal to get from another team?
Moreover,
if he continues to play that way.
Moreover, you have now a bench coach as you move into September, or however long Nick is going to be down. You have that voice in the locker room and on the bench during the games to help with adjustments, to help, you know, all players, especially the very good ones and the great ones, will tell you when you talk about the time that they were injured, the time they had off, and they got to see the game from a different perspective and how that helped them and helped some of the other players. So while you never want to see anybody go down for any amount of time, especially one of your top players, you look at that as a positive for the growth. This is still a young team. Right? And you still need that voice. Now, I don't think they're beyond listening to folks. I don't see that from these young players on this team. It seems like the camaraderie sort of jumps off, or in this case, out of the dugout to those of us who watch this team. And they all seem to get along okay and so on and so forth. So having, you know, Nick down for a little while, but having that voice still on the team, around the team, I look at that as a positive.
And well, absolutely.
And as we head into September, we all know this is where pitching is going to take over. Because there's a concern, we sit here and talk about these guys and they're going to be able to hit the way we know they can hit. I said, well, you know, there's a guy on 60 feet, 6 inches away who's got a job to do too, and he's pretty good at it.
Yep.
So.
That's true.
It's one of those things that you got to kind of pace yourself and not get too worked up into a lather, even though it's August 2nd. You know, this is what we're
heading. The calendar changes.
Has.
And it does get a little more serious. I mean, there was a lot of baseball when we talked in the months of June and July, but now we're into August, and, you know, you want to see what you made of. That's why you made these moves for your bullpen, bringing on Shane Green, and that's a big pickup, that ERA that he brings.
1.18, something like that, yeah.
That's nice.
That's real nice. Can it continue?
That's the thing. That's the thing. So, you know, you watch for that type contribution for this baseball team as they continue. This weekend, of course, is a big weekend that they're honoring Hank Aaron. They got the Invitational going on today. Got a number of African-American players who earned their way into a chance to compete and play in this game that honors him and honors his legacy and memory. So that's going on this weekend out at SunTrust Park.
Sam and Greg, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. If you are just joining us, 10 after 6 in this our first show of August. I don't feel no different, does it?
No,
be honest with you.
No,
it's still hot, which, as you like to say, is fish grease out there,
yeah,
coming into town.
You know,
this is a show, by the way, and Mr. Crenshaw kind of touched into a player that makes us, you know, think about history of the Braves, and this kind of talking about Hank Aaron. But this is a day that we're going to talk about what ifs, and throughout the show. And the reason we brought this up is because we were prepping for the show. You know, this is a special day. You know, I always throw out these, this is what happened on this day.
Yeah.
But this really is one of those days that if you don't know, take a minute and go back and look. Because this is the day that Jesse Owens won his 100 meters in front of Adolf Hitler.
Yeah.
And really messed up his day.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you say?
Yeah.
He went back and did something to somebody or yelled at somebody.
It did kind of spoil his
Jesse. Day. Now, but that's not the story. The story is this. If you never seen you've probably seen the footage. If you've seen anything with Jesse Owens, they always show him, you know, winning the 100 meters at the 36 Olympics in Berlin. But for those of you who don't know, Ralph Metcalf tripped at the beginning of that race.
Yeah, had a little slip.
He had a slip. And if that didn't happen, because he caught Jesse Owens, and it was pert near a tie at the end of that race. Did I just say pert near?
Pert near. What is pert near?
I don't know.
Pert near?
That sounds like something your grandmother would say.
What is pert near?
Y'all better get this out. You pert near getting a hand across your face. Anyway, go back and look at the footage. But had Ralph Metcalf not slipped, history would have been a little bit different. So throughout the show, we got us thinking about things, you know, that have happened in the world of sports, that if this one thing didn't happen, if that ref, you know, didn't make the bad call, if the umpire didn't make the bad call, what would have changed? If Don Dinkinger wasn't as bad an umpire at first base during the 85 series, if Eric Gregg didn't have the strike zone he had when the Braves were in the 97 series against the Marlins. I mean, all these what-ifs, and there's a lot bigger. If Jordan doesn't hit the shot, if this doesn't happen. So, anyway, the Jesse Owens thing that happened on this day got us thinking about that. But bringing this back to the history of Hank Aaron and his association with the Braves team, this weekend is reason to pause and take a minute and see what the Braves are doing for him.
Absolutely, absolutely. And like I said, they have this invitational showcase. Those players had a chance to really hear from he and Ambassador Andrew Young yesterday, and they went to visit the King Center, Dr. King's home, Ebenezer Church, and just get appreciation for the movement and the city of Atlanta. Today they're going to take the field and go out there and play. And to me, that's a big thing that he has been a proponent of, is keeping the baseball in the inner city, getting kids to continue to play baseball. When you talk with them about it, just having the better athletes try the game. And I think that's something that he's always said.
I know it's an uphill battle, though.
I don't know it's an uphill battle. You got to see some people doing it. When you see this big dude that pitched in the College Baseball World Series, that's a start.
Yeah, it's
you know
a
what
start,
I mean? So, I mean, you got to get some superior athletes that had a chance to play the game. And I think that's the story I get from our recent College Baseball World Series.
You're absolutely right.
Michigan went and got some athletes from Chicago, from this program that the White Sox have,
right,
to come up with a Michigan, and they get to the College Baseball World. I don't think that's an accident. And so I think events like what happened this weekend is our way.
But do you see a greater increase in Major League Baseball helping communities build the parks? Even if it's not building a park, secure an area where you know that this community is going to have the ability to go. The kids are going to be able to have an area where they can go out and play baseball. We regularly have had the cops who play with the kids around town.
And lead CJ and Kelly Stewart, tip of the cap to them. They're doing a tremendous job in our city.
Right.
I don't know what's happening in other cities.
That's the thing.
But it is happening in our town, and we're seeing it because we're seeing our kids from this area get drafted in the baseball draft. So we're seeing it. It's happening here.
We're going to get more baseball talk coming up later on the show and just kind of go over some of these what-ifs. But the question of Mr. Crenshaw is, I guess it could be Sam Crenshaw,
that's what the driver's license says.
That's what the mama said when you get in trouble. Yeah, Sam Crenshaw, get over here. Samuel.
Samuel.
Yeah, you knew you were in trouble then.
Yeah.
Anyway, what did we learn from Thursday night? Falcons, Broncos, if anything. That's up next. Sam and Greg, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com.
This game was really dedicated to the rookies and to the players, we call Plan D, guys who put a lot of development work. That's Kurt, that's Brian Hill and Grace and Graham and guys, Tui, guys who really, we want to see where they would go to.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. That, of course, Falcons head coach Dan Quinn talking about what we saw Thursday night and what they were doing. Basically what he's looking at, who he's assessing,
right,
and being more focused in on that game than most of us. obviously, he had some things to look at. We just wanted football. Is that a fair way to put it?
That's it. You guys saw a taste of it. You looked up and say, okay, we're not going to see any of the regulars tonight.
We saw them. They looked nice on the sidelines.
They did. They were nice. They smiled very nicely.
Jerseys were clean. Pads on.
Really nice. But we got one under the belt. And you wonder, like, what did you see in there? Who stood out? And one of the things, I guess, that stood out, obviously, was John Kaminsky. And a lot of people wondered, him coming from a smaller school and whatnot. And he looked great. The problem is people say, okay, he's doing that against twos. He's doing it against threes. He's doing it against guys who are trying to make the team. Let's see if he can keep that same motor running when he's going up against some guys who are going to be some frontline guys in the league. So I think that's one of the players that you come away saying, okay, Yurik Bethune was very active. Watch for him in the linebacker court, in my opinion. And I thought with running back in the spot, we had a chance to give Brian Hill an opportunity to get some carries. Don't know if that saves a spot for him with Quadre Allison, the big back that they drafted, out of Pitt to come in. And we kind of looking for him to come in and give us some good short yardage. But Hill did show some good, carries. One particular run he was running, he got called for unnecessary roughness. He kind of dipped his shoulder because he's getting ready to take on the defender.
And you're talking, and that gets us into the whole thing as far as officiating and the changes that are made. But yeah, you're right. What is he supposed to do?
He's got to keep doing
what he's doing. Get the flag or not, but he's got to keep lowering that shoulder and going hard.
You know what I mean? So that's the only thing that I saw that happen. Now, what do you think about your backup quarterback situation? are you ready to make Ben Kirk your number two over Schaub?
Do we make hasty moves at this point? We know the history of Schaub. We know that he will not go in and wet the bed at least in, you know, regular
short,
season.
Short term.
Yeah, short little spurts there. We know he's been there, done that before. And when you have a team that you know should be vying for the division, if definitely not, well, definitely a wild card, but, you know, this team, there's no reason why they shouldn't focus on winning the division and going deep into the playoffs. You don't want to feel skittish about your backup.
Yep.
You just don't want that.
The thing that got me was when they brought him back later in the game. I'm like, okay, so Schaub starts the game.
And he's, didn't look
and,
good.
And you get Benker in it, and he, you know, he has his moments.
He's leading,
you know,
rusher in the game, man.
He has his moments. And then Schaub comes back, and I'm like, whoa.
Maybe go. You know who I was looking to see? And well, there were two people. One was Devin, obviously.
Yeah.
Because we're gonna have a conversation with Pops, yeah. Hopefully. Yeah. He's going to be in on, I guess, the game here, the first home game. So that's, I think it's, what, the 15th, something like that. He'll be in for that against Philadelphia. But also Ito Smith, man.
Yeah.
And he started off, he looked like he was going to have a little pop, and I was going, okay, this will be good. Let's see what we got here with this. And I just like his name. I've always liked his name. So I want to hear his name mentioned more during games when the opportunity arrives. So I was looking for that.
You got some opportunity, but you got to remember the line that was running behind was inconsistent. We did get to see Chris Lindstrom out there, and I like the parts when they ISO'd and showed what he was doing. He's a guy that seems ready to mix it up and get after it and really claim a spot as a starter right now. So it was good to see him get out there in action and see what he looks like on the offensive line.
Okay.
Now you want to see eventually when he gets to come in there with the veterans.
Yeah. Now, that being said, and that was a fairly little positive back and forth we just had, let's talk about them drops.
Yeah.
Let's talk about them. Let's talk about the thing that we actually noticed a lot of, and that was them drops.
Well, that was with both teams,
though. I know. Denver dropped
a lot of them too. I mean, that's
you can't hang your head on anything though. You can't overanalyze anything from this one game, because if you're not worried about those drops being something that's going to continue, if you figure that, you know, you had young guys out there and it's their first time being in the bright lights, at least at this level, and this is what we saw. Okay, that's fine. One of the things that we talked about in recent years coming out of the start of the season was tackling. Just basics, right?
Yeah.
We have talked about that ad nauseum. How do we know if that's changed by looking at this game? I mean, we don't. So again, this is all step by step by step. And there were, like I said, there were a couple guys I wanted to see and see how they were going to perform. But this was all about wetting our taste. So I ask you this. Were you satisfied with some football?
Well, yeah, absolutely, absolutely, absolutely. You waited all year for this.
All right,
you know. So,
So I heard great analogies about this game and how football fans look at it, and they say, you know, it's not a meal. So the best one I heard
It's
not a meal. It's kind of like you're driving down the road in these rural areas and pick the state, and there's no area where you can pull off and get something to eat. And you finally find a gas station that's got a vending machine, or you go to like a rest stop. And I'm telling you, with that big bag of M&Ms or Doritos, that's all they got. That's like Thanksgiving dinner if you ain't eating in six hours.
Right, right.
So that's basically how you look at it. Yeah. This is like off the side of the road, that first vending machine kind of meal.
Go ahead.
I'll tell you something that was positive. And something that you can hang your hat on moving forward. I don't have a problem with any time I hear that Austin Hooper has spent time with Tony Gonzalez.
Yeah, how about that?
That's my takeaway. That's it. That's all I wanted. The tight end for the team I'm looking at, and I want to win, spent some time with a Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
Who, by the way, has some knowledge about this team and his quarterback, by the way.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know,
when
I was working with Matt, Matt's got this thing he does that, you know, and he gives that little inside nugget.
That was great to see Tony come out there when they introduced the Hall of Famers to start the game, and he comes out and he walks down between the two teams, the lineup, and the Hall of Famers walk out. He walks down and goes straight to Matt Ryan and gives him a big hug, you know. So that was obviously made it special. For him to be there, and the last team that he played with, obviously to be there as part of the Hall of Fame weekend.
Again, I'm just thinking about what you like to say on a regular basis. By the way, Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com, starting off on this Saturday morning. I ain't heard no game day yet.
Yeah, well, it's on the way. It's coming.
make me wait.
It's coming. It is because we have Atlanta United.
All right. Well, you know, but I mean, you just saying it.
Yeah.
I'm waiting for you to say it.
We're gonna get there.
See how folks he makes you wait.
The next game for the Falcons is coming up on Thursday. They'll play down in, against the Dolphins down in Miami. That's the next preseason game. But you don't have
Was it the new line coach who lasted all of 8 days or something like that?
But you don't have to wait that long to see them because they will be at Mercedes-Benz tomorrow morning.
Yes, and we will talk about that. And we're going to go out there and hang out.
Yeah.
Are we getting a wrap up? Okay. Ken was giving us some kind of sign.
That's the best producer. Where is he from?
Pick a spot.
I don't know.
Pick a spot in the country.
He said the Bay Area.
Pick a region. Well, that's just me. I just do that.
Quad cities.
Okay, there you go. You got to jump on this comedy thing. You just got to say it like that. What tickles me is when you tell the story of how this is one of the favorite times of year for your wife when the guys get the gold jackets and put them on.
Yeah. Oh, she thinks that's the coolest thing in the world. Tonight, of course, when they got to receive their gold jackets last night, tonight they unveiled the bust and the Hall of Famers will each give their speeches and give their thank yous to teammates, to coaches and family members and people who've supported them all along the way. And my wife particularly loves to watch this show. She thinks it's just the coolest thing, a big 300-pound man up there talking about his mom and starts crying. She thinks that's just the coolest thing.
It's good TV in the world.
She will be watching tonight.
That's always some good TV. Who are you looking forward to hearing? Other than Tony Gonzalez,
Tony and Champ.
Did you cover him at all? Did you have any connections with him when he was in Georgia?
Yeah, he was at Georgia before I got back from North Carolina. He came through Georgia during that time, so I didn't get a chance to cover him at Georgia, but afterwards in the NFL. But and then at a number of camps he would come back to during the summer, because he came back for a while and was coming back during the summer and working on finishing up his degree. Right. He'd come back and do camps in town and go back to Athens to work on his degree. So we got a chance to get to know him. So it'd be cool to hear what both of them have to say. And I think Tony will really say some deep, profound stuff. I think Ed Reed may say something.
Well, see, I was going to draw a correlation to something. I've been thinking about this. And I didn't want to use the mob analogy, you know, like the underboss, or I didn't want to use the political one or the vice president. But I went back to a football team that was the strongest, well, you can say they're all-time strongest, but the team that was the Baltimore Ravens were most compared to when they were at their heyday defensively, and that was the 85 Bears.
Yeah.
And my question to you is this. Is it fair to call Ed Reed – well, he was to the Baltimore team. What? Oh, no, it just out of my head. Defensive end for the 85 Bears. Lives here in Georgia.
Oh, Dent.
Richard Dent was to Mike Singletary and that 85 Bears. If everything begins and ends with Ray Lewis on that Baltimore team, that would be the 85 Bears' Mike Singletary.
Yeah.
But yet, you don't get what you got out of that 85 team without Richard Dent. And I'm saying to you, the same thing applies to that Baltimore team, who was compared, that 2000 Baltimore team was compared to that team as far as the way they play. They didn't have the knuckleheads on that team like the 85 Bears did.
No.
But defensively, they were just as powerful.
That's what they lived by. They had just enough offense and a defense that just stopped everybody and was so talented. And so he's going in and he'll be representing that tonight.
And he'd been walking around, and all the footage you've been seeing of the Hall of Famers this week, it seems like every time they show Ed Hall, they pulled him out of the pool hall before, hey, we got an event. Okay, hang on, I'll be right there. Leaves the hat on, comes casual. He's just coming, and he's just having himself a bit. He looks like he's enjoying this weekend more than anybody else.
Really is. He's having a blast.
Moreover, it looks like he would love the opportunity to say some things, but I don't think people are teeing it up for him because they know. I mean, it's different than Ray. Ray would anything.
Yeah,
you had to hold about the famous footage of the end of the last Super Bowl that Baltimore won. If you go back and look at the post game comments, Jim Nance was up there, and I would swear to you, and I think people who know television would say the same thing, that he got an edict from his bosses. Do not let go of that microphone and give it to Ray Lewis. Do not do it. And as you go back and look at that, Ray Lewis grabbed a microphone from him like he wanted to take it, and Jim Nance did not let go.
Yeah.
He held on to the bottom of it the whole time Ray was talking.
Yep. Well, he had to do that. Well, you know, Ray's going to get a hold of a microphone. He's going to go off anyway. You know, but we're going to talk more because we got more to talk about the Hall of Famers. We're going to talk more about them, their contributions, and maybe who goes in next coming up at the top of the next hour.
And some more what ifs.
Yep, some more what ifs. But coming up next, we're going to get our countdown to Corky Kale. Going to talk to the coach of a team that's going to be involved in the
biscuits and gravy game.
The first game of the day on that Saturday morning. Coach Brett Sloan from Kell High School. On the way next, we continue on a game day Saturday morning.
Thank you.
Sports Radio 92.9 and 92.9 The Game. Back
now, did that hurt?
One thing I told Matt when I, you know, the first day I met him when they traded me to the Falcons, I said, look, just get it in my area and let me go up there and do my thing. And we made some good music together. I had a hell of a time playing with Matt. He's one of the best.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Sam and Greg on a beautiful, beautiful Saturday morning.
Morning.
You got to like this, right?
Yeah.
We've already had a little taste of football.
Yeah, man.
And, you know.
Yeah, the teams are practicing now.
We got arguments going on about rankings in college.
Oh, my goodness, yeah.
We're going to talk about that. We got some firsts for things that haven't happened in a while. And we have, if you haven't been listening to Sam and I for the last few weeks, we have given a name to a very important event that takes place during the Corky Kell. And it's that first game at Mercedes-Benz Stadium.
Yeah.
It's when you kick things off there, you have to have a special intro.
Yes.
And I don't think that it has been
What are you
I don't
doing?
Think it's been pushed enough. So we have the guy who actually can take it to that next level because he's coaching in that game.
Really?
Want to welcome Coach Brett Sloan to the show, head coach of Cal. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, guys. How you doing this morning?
How you doing? I understand you guys got a meeting going on. You stepping outside of your meeting for a minute for us?
Yeah, sir. We're stepping outside. We're getting some logistics and stuff together for this week. We got our first scrimmage this Saturday against Walton.
Yeah.
So we're just getting some things nailed down, and we got an early practice this morning. So we're getting things rolling. So.
All right. Well, Coach, before we get into the X's and O's and your thoughts on this upcoming game, we want you to know, because you guys always play that first game in Mercedes-Benz Stadium on the Saturday, that morning game, right?
That's correct.
We have called it the biscuits and gravy game. How do you like that? Do you like it?
I like it. I'm all about some biscuits and gravy now.
There we go. So we need you to help continue to – we're going to push it here. So anybody you have a conversation with, you know – hey, I'm playing in that biscuits and gravies game. I ain't got time for y'all. I got to get busy and get ready for this. Which brings us to the next question that Mr. Crenshaw has.
We talking about that. Yeah, what do you guys eat? I know you're from South Carolina. I don't know about biscuits and gravy, Coach. Y'all like fish and grits over there. But
it's South Carolina.
Shrimp and grits. I've been to Charleston. I've had that. That is outstanding. But you know, you're going to have the team in early today. Obviously, you guys have a routine that you go on when you get ready for this game. What exactly do you like to do?
And that's kind of that's why we're here early this morning, is because you know, we always play that 9 a.m. game, so we typically 3 weeks out from the game we start bringing them in on Saturday mornings, and we'll have a very abbreviated practice. We'll only be here about an hour and a half this morning, but you know, we'll go through, we'll make it as game like as possible. So this morning we're going to, you know, and we're very detailed about it. We dot our I's and cross our T's. We're going to go through locker room procedures as far as, you know, all the pregame stuff, what group goes out first. They'll come in. We'll meet in the locker room here shortly. They're supposed to be in the locker room ready to go at 8 a.m. We'll take our specialist group out. We'll go through all our pregame stuff. It's just a, you know, a mock game day thing for them. And then we'll go out, and once we've gone through our warm-up today will be our pregame warm-up routine, and then once we're done with that, we'll go into some situational scrimmage stuff, and we'll go best on best, and then we'll in for a few plays, and then we'll rotate in, and we'll go twos and against twos, and you know, some JV and freshmen against JV and freshmen. But the idea and the concept behind it is we want to get their bodies acclimated to play in live football at early on a Saturday morning, because that's just not something they typically do. So we want to prepare them both physically and mentally for that, and that's just kind of the process that we do every year. So.
Yeah. Spending time on the waitfor.com hotline this morning with Coach Brett Sloan, is the head coach of Kell High School. They will play the first game, the 9 a.m. game, of the Corky Kell Classic down at Mercedes-Benz Stadium against Mays. What, if anything, do you know about your opponent from that day? It's not a team that you would regularly face.
Well, I mean, I know they're extremely athletic. I think they've got 10 to 12 D1 guys or guys who are carrying Power 5 offers. And I know Coach Battle's done a really, really good job with them. They're well coached on offense. They do some good things out of the spread. Quarterback seems to be really athletic. You know, they're pretty, I don't want to say simple. Simple's not the word, but they know what they do on defense, and they get really good at it, you know, and they let their kids play fast and be athletic, and that's what they are, you know. So they do a good job of putting them in a situation where they can be successful.
Coach, you finished up last season 9-3 with record, but it was the way you guys ended this. I mean, coming to the end of the season, 7-game winning streak.
Yeah.
How long does it take, though? Unfortunately, you know, you ran into a Buford team that you know won and had a. I won't say the number here, but it had to leave a nasty taste in your mouth. How long does it take to get over something like that?
Well, I mean, I think that's been we try to turn that negative into a positive, you know, and make it our motivation for the offseason. And our guys have understood. I think they took away from that game, you know, if we're going to beat somebody of that caliber, just how much stronger and bigger we have to get. And they've had a great all season in the weight room. I think this is the strongest we've been, you know, and that doesn't always correlate to success, but it sure does help and doesn't hurt, you know. And so I do think this is the strongest we've been since I've been here. And the guys, I mean, they got a taste of what they have to do to continue to go to the next level. And that's how we try to approach it, you know. So.
Spending time with Coach Sloan. You can follow him. He is social. He is on Twitter. You can follow him at Coach Sloan 10, at Coach Sloan 10. Last year, you kicked things off, and you won a game. And, man, that game was a marathon. You guys just went back and forth, and you won that game.
Oh, East Coweta.
Oh, man, that was an incredible game to kick things
36-34,
off.
36-34, man.
I don't know if you can top that one, Coach. That was, we didn't know who was going to survive at the end of that game last year.
Well, you know, we played two of them, you know, and Tucker 2 years ago, we lost by one in overtime, you know, so it just – It seems to, and I think the year before that, it was a really close game between Kell and Tucker. I mean, it's just an exciting game to play in. You know, you're going to get both teams. You're going to get their best effort, and it's probably just going to be one that comes down to the wire. You know, I know Coach Hunter over there sweating bullets last year because our game ran over. You know, because we kept going back and forth and this, that, and other, and he's trying to keep everybody on schedule and you know all those things. So it's But, man, it's exciting, and, you know, I wouldn't expect anything different this year.
And I would say that because this year, East Coweta is playing Mill Creek in the last game on the schedule. They will be watching you to make sure you don't go into overtime.
Yeah, they'll be praying we don't go into overtime because, it can be a long day if those games get stretched out. They can.
Well, Coach, we thank you for getting up and spending some time with us. Well, you're already up anyway.
Thank you, Coach.
We thank you for stepping away from your meeting momentarily and your preparations to spend some time
with us. Putting up with our nonsense.
Yep.
No problem. It's a pleasure to be here.
And we look forward to seeing you real soon down at Mercedes-Benz Stadium for the game.
Yes, sir. You guys have a good day, okay?
Thank you.
You too.
Good luck to you, Coach.
That is Coach Brett Sloan, the coach from Kell High School. They'll be taking on Mays.
Didn't want to put that 44-11 score out there.
No, I don't put that.
I didn't want to say that to him.
You don't have to remind him.
That's why I kind of bit my tongue. I was like, he don't want to hear that score again. It's like Falcons and New England.
You don't have to remind him of that or his team. Yeah. You know, so they're working through that. We're going to come back. We're going to run down the list of the games.
And we are going to be all over to the station. 92.9 The Game is going to bring you all the Walk Corky Kell coverage.
Yep, that's coming up the next hour. Also, we're going to talk Atlanta United. That is coming up. Doug Robertson will join us to get us all set for the Five Stripes. Take on those guys from the West Coast later on today. That is continuing. But up next, chance to get some cash in your pocket. Call it Casting Call. The Game Day Saturday morning here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.